Cheers to 50, Thrivers. This is our 50th episode of the Thriving Equine Professional. I cannot believe it. We are going to sit down today with another amazing guest who was only the seventh team member of Platinum Performance, and now, almost 23 years later, she serves as the Director of Client Experience and Sales for one of the biggest names in equine nutrition. Let's grow. Welcome to the Thriving Equine Professional, the podcast to grow you. Are you wondering how to make connections to build your career in the equine industry? Not sure where to look for the support you'll need to land a dream job? Maybe you're feeling frustrated or stuck where you are. Hey, I'm Jody. I was that girl with no clue how to navigate landing a great career in animal health, but I knew this is where I wanted to be. I look back and cannot believe the roles I've landed and the people I call friends. Inside this podcast, you will meet key connections, build your career confidence, and find the advice you may not know you need. So, if you're ready to grow your career and thrive in a job that you are passionate about, you're in the right place. Get the ponies fed and fill those water buckets. It's time to grow, girl. Welcome back, Thrivers. We are here for our 50th episode. I cannot believe that my birthday present last year to myself was a ton of work, is really what it was. No, it's been so fun to embark on the journey of the Thriving Equine Professional, but here we are. It is episode 50, and Heather Elliott, I cannot think of a better guest to celebrate a milestone with. And so here we are from East Coast to West Coast. I always start with, how am I connected to you? I was blessed enough to meet you. Gosh, it's probably been at least 5-6 years ago. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. And you and I do not see each other in person often, but we saw each other at AAEP in December, just this past December, right? Is the last time. And I am always, I walk away from our conversations so motivated and inspired. Your energy is contagious, which you know that I love. We share a passion for this industry. And if there's one word that I will sum up Heather Elliott, it is passion. So with that, I want to kick this over to you just to introduce yourself, Heather, to our Thrivers, our listeners and our audience, and tell them about where you are, where you're coming to us from, and what you do.
Oh my gosh, thank you. So great to talk to you today. And 50, congratulations.
Yes, I'm so excited.
This is a huge, huge milestone. Wonderful.
I can't believe it.
Well, I am talking to you today from my home office, which happens to also be my trailer house. My husband and I are doing a massive remodel of our home. So my family and I are currently living in a trailer in a barn. So a nod to the horse world that we're sort of, you know, living vicariously as if we have a full stable here. And yeah, my role today is the Director of Sales and Client Experience at Platinum Performance. This summer, I will celebrate my 23rd anniversary. Yeah.
So incredible.
It's been such a ride. I can't believe how many years I've blinked, and here we are, but excited to talk about that journey with you here today.
Yeah, for sure. The personal milestones, the professional milestones of 23 years. As I think about that, you and I were in college at the same time. The fun connection for me there is to be able to look back and say, okay, you were at Cal Poly, right? At San Luis Obispo. Yes. And I was at Western Kentucky University. I was on our ag ambassador team. I was an agriculture ambassador, and we took a trip to Cal Poly and we were there. And so I would have, yeah, absolutely. So I would have been there. And it's just so funny to think about that, you know, 25 years ago or whatever it was, that I did come visit your campus and we, you know, participated in some activities while we were out there. But you and I are female Gen X world changers that, you know, really kind of come from the same era. So I get excited about that. We have, you know, so much in common there. But tell us, Heather, a little bit about your time at Cal Poly SLO. You know, I know we always have to kind of explain that. We're saying San Luis Obispo when we talk about Cal Poly SLO, but let's start there with your journey, because I think that's really important to our listeners to know what your education looks like and how you've created this thriving career.
Thank you. Yeah. I was actually the only school that I applied towards because in California, we have two really well-renowned horse programs. And I was a completely horse crazy kid. So just a little bit in reverse, grew up riding in the Silicon Valley, which didn't have a ton of horse property around my area. So my soccer weekend shuffle was to the barn. And then I would get left because I have two siblings. So my parents would have to go, you know, take them to real soccer and real sports and things, and then come back and get me hours and hours later. And just that time at the barn was like the home away from home, right? So when I was applying to colleges, it was going to be a veterinarian, to be an equine veterinarian. And I had my sights on either UC Davis or Cal Poly. And a friend of mine, not associated with horses, had a sister who went to Cal Poly. And I went down there and they took me to the horse unit. And it was like, wait a minute, you can bring your horse to college. You can take horse classes for credit here. And instantly I was hooked. The motto at Cal Poly is learn by doing. So you get a tremendous amount of hands-on experience for preparation to be a vet. I saw castrations. I was on the breeding project. I was on the horse judging team. So I got to see all the other colleges, you know, you name it, just tons of opportunities to see it, touch it, feel it. And in that, I just continued to explore and explore and explore. And I actually spent 6 years at Cal Poly.
On the six-year program.
On the six-year program.
Yes.
Part of which is because at year four, which a lot of people can probably relate, the upper division bio and chem classes were a bit of a pivotal point for me. I had my horse in school. I loved having my horse as my side thing, but I paid for it by cleaning stalls, and I paid for, you know, a few lessons here and there with part-time work. And when I got to those classes in the third, fourth year, that's when I had to call mom and dad and say, I'm not going to have time to be able to clean stalls and also run down to the restaurant and, you know, all the things that I was doing. So can you help me? My horse name at school was Roy. Can you help me with Roy while I'm doing this so I can finish? And my brother had just started at Cal Poly as well. And they're like, we have two kids in college. Like, you brought the horse, you're on your own. And that's when I realized there actually is an opportunity to have, you know, some business acumen and kind of figure out how to solve for that while also keeping my passion, which was keeping my horse with me. And so my new way of going, my purpose was I got to be able to keep my horse. There was no question. And so that was what extended Cal Poly up to 6 years. And I ended up going to my advisor and he helped me find some business classes. And then he sent me through the NRCHA internship, which was very, I don't even know if they still do it now, but back then the association was very new. So as an intern, we pretty much were on the leadership team. It was really cool. My first event with them was, it's called the Celebration of Champions now, I think, but it was called the World's Greatest Horsemen.
I remember.
Year at the Lazy E. And it was my first day on the job, and I got in a truck and I drove across the country. And our job was to do everything. Like, we worked with the sponsors, we hung the signs, we worked with merch, we worked with signing up it was only like 22 athletes, but you know, got them registered, figured out how they were going to be stalled, all the stuff. And that, Jody, is when I was like, there's a lot to the business side of the horse world that I had no idea.
And that's so true. And that really, that speaks to me, because that's really the main objective behind this podcast, is that we have such an incredible group of young people out here who have no idea what I call careers beyond the barn. And so that's such a good example. Now, I do always like to explain acronyms to our listeners. So when you talk about the NRCHA, we're talking about the National Reined Cow Horse Association, right? Yes. Okay. So National Reined Cow Horse Association. And the one of the reasons that I also like to explain that is that that internship was so impactful to you. It reminds me, you know, so I did an internship with National Cattlemen's Beef Association, right? I actually was on the ag side and did a beef internship. But the importance of those organizational internships is incredible. And so just like you're saying, you're having this light bulb moment of the need for financial acumen, business classes, those kinds of experiences. And then that internship really opened that window as well. So I want our listeners to hear that.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes things can be very serendipitous. You know, there had been other interns prior. In fact, they were mentors to me, you know, old college roommates and women that were a few years ahead of me in school who I looked up to, and they had done it as well. And, you know, at the time, what probably they would agree to, you didn't realize is how much more involved we got the opportunity to be than probably what would be available today. And one of the things that that it allowed me to do was understand what aspects I loved, what aspects I didn't. And I, you know, aside from wanting to always be a vet, I also thought I wanted to be a horse trainer. Like, you know, again, my purpose was my horse back home, my, you know, every day going out to ride. And so my, in my narrow lens, the world of horse was you're either a vet or you're a trainer. And here all of a sudden I am being tasked with, you know, go assign, let's march ahead. So the from the lazy E all the way to their futurity, which is the kind of the championship of the NRCHA at the end of the year. I had extended my internship so I could be a part of the futurity. Like the, you know, it's kind of the Super Bowl, right? I was in charge of creating stall charts for over 700 horses. And you have to take into a fact, like into account who's stalling with who. And, you know, in some cases, like who doesn't want to stall near someone else?
I was just going to say, there are things you have to know. If anyone ever dealt with stalling at a horse show, there are things you just have to know.
Yeah. Which is like relationship and communication 101, right? So it was little things like that where I started to glean, hey, you know, this is actually, you know, horse or no horse, this is hard stuff. And I'm really actually enjoying the process here. And then it was also like inventory management. They gave me a chance to work with a designer to design merchandise for that year's futurity. And Greg Ward, the year prior, had just won championship again. And he was just incredible horseman, somebody to just, you know, we all revered him. And he was somebody everyone looked up to, regardless of your background. And so what we did was we took a kind of an outline of him circling the cow, which is kind of the pivotal moment at the end of a really, really good run. And it was his winning run. And we made it an icon, and it became that year's icon. And we had so much fun with it. We wanted to make the merchandise more youthful and refreshed. So we pulled in a race car guy and we're like, make it race car-y, you know, and like, if that's even a term. And, you know, just really later I found out I'm not the greatest marketer, but I did love the process of how many do we need? Let's forecast this. How much is it going to cost? How much will we sell it for? You know, and again, like all of that could happen if you're selling stuff for plumbers, right? But here I was in the middle of, you know, one of the largest horse events on the Western side of discipline. And
without a doubt, incredible. And so what was, Heather, your degree when you graduated from Cal Poly? You major, minor?
Yeah. So I ended up with a major in ag business. I came home from that internship one quarter later, instead of it just being summer. I came back in the winter because of the futurity, and shifted from animal science, which is what you needed to be pre-vet, to, you know, agribusiness. And of course I had enough animal science credits at that point that ended up being my minor. And then it was the following year that I was invited by a CFO of a Fortune 500, now I think they're a Fortune 100 company, to be an intern in the finance department, because I was really geeking out on the finance aspect of things. And I got to work, again, very serendipitous. I don't know if this opportunity would ever exist today, but I ended up working for the controller of this company, and she reported to the VP of finance, and they put me, it was the first internship of their pro, they're still doing it today. This was their first year, and I got to work for every finance department in the entire organization. And the, again, extended it because the opportunities just kept pouring at me. And the one of the projects I got to do was, this is a real story, the CEO's cell phone had accidentally been shut off because the bill wasn't paid. And so they're like, hey, we need to reconcile how much are we spending? Why are we using 12 carriers? Why does everyone have their own plan? Can you please work with procurement? Can you work with budgeting? Can you, you know, all the things to create like one scaled system, so our sales teams can have, you know, one type of plan, and our executives can have another. And if the engineers, and it was a, you know, a large tech organization, so a lot of software engineers and that kind of thing too. Yeah. So I'm presenting to the CFO at the end of my internship my proposal for what cell carrier for the entire worldwide organization. I mean, they were on every continent, and I'm just a Cal Poly intern. And that was how I saw and got to be a part of what is the greater executive landscape of a large, you know, corporation. And I loved it. And so now it's like, okay, this is what large business looks like. And I still had my horse, right? And now I've seen what the horse business could look like, and these two great experiences. And so from there, Jody, I ended up graduating with a business degree and an emphasis in finance, and then the minor in animal science.
Incredible. And Heather, you mentioned really along the way that, you know, some of these things might not happen today, but I do want to encourage our listeners to have the same kind of dedication and versatility, because even if it doesn't happen in an internship and they don't have the opportunity to extend an internship, for instance, this can happen early in your career. It can be your first role, your second role, that you've just got to go in hungry. You were hungry to learn, and you saw the areas that you wanted to pursue. And I'm quick to say it is as important, if not more important, for us to recognize the parts that we don't really want to do. We're not passionate about certain things. Therefore, we're probably ultimately not going to be all that great. Don't be lazy, but do recognize that not everything is going to be our zone of genius, if you will. So I think those are just such great examples. Now, onward we go, and you become part of an incredible organization where you have spent the majority of your career. And so I know that we want to hear this story. You were the seventh team member of a baby platinum performance business that is now beyond anyone's wildest dreams. Tell us all about it.
So it's similar in what you just said, you know, and you're absolutely right. The concept of being a part of something at its infancy, or jumping in and being a part of something in its maturity, the only difference is how we approach it. And if we approach it as if it's, you know, opportunity to learn, asking questions, things like that, then you never know what's around the next corner. And similarly, exact same thing happened with Platinum. At Cal Poly, to graduate, you have to finish a senior project. And back when I was there, it was a two-parter. You did a 2-credit like methodology paper and how you're going to do the project. And then the second part was doing the project. So I, at this point, I'm obsessed with finance. I love the aspect of how to incorporate it across the entire organization. And because I was agribusiness, I needed to kind of keep my project in line with something agricultural related. Truthfully, I was only interested in horse. Like, I love the concept of agriculture, but nothing else excited me. So We are blessed in California to have so much great, you know, all industries, but and strawberries, yeah, love them, but don't want to put it in my project. So I was like, where am I going to find something with horses? You know, well, funny enough, my part-time job was at Cal Poly was through their event staff program, and a fraternity brother of one of the family members, the president of Platinum, Mark Rothel, Mark was also at Cal Poly, by the way. He knew of Platinum. Similarly, one of my girlfriends who I rode horses with, she was one of an early of the early Platinum hires as well. And then a third, this is so weird, my best college girlfriend, art major, nothing to do with horses. She's like, I have a job interview in Los Olivos. Do you just want to come with me? Like, I don't know if it's going to turn into anything, but, you know, it would be fun to have the company. It was to be a web designer for Platinum Performance.
Oh my gosh.
So these three different, didn't know each other, these three people. And I was like, huh, like I got to, you know, what is this company? So I asked Mark, I arranged a call with Mark and asked him if I could do my senior project. And I am there for a couple few months collecting the data I need and things like that. The Platinum needed it at the time too. They were so young. They're like, yeah, let's have some budgeting and forecasting and you can help us kind of model out what we want to get done in the next couple of years. And that was going to be my project. And then literally I was helping answering the phones and configuring the computer program. And, you know, you just kind of dive in when there's only a few people around. It was so, they were already doing such great things. And I was so excited to be there that I was just like, yeah, you know, how can I help? And that's how it started. And so back then, and a lot of people don't know this, but we had a very complete catalog at that time. And it's because the products were born out of necessity for the clinic here in Los Olivos, California, Alamo Pintado Equine Medical Center. And I just, the couple of things that I think back on that I was so blessed is the mentorship at Cal Poly, the people who helped guide me, and how I would go to them asking these, what I felt like were super dumb questions. And then they turned out to be, why don't you go talk to so-and-so? Let's get you in this internship. The same exact thing is how I feel at Platinum. Working for Doug Herthel, who is just an incredible veterinarian, founder of Platinum, and being able to, you know, basically share the growth and the strategy and hear his understanding of what he saw in the innovation with nutrition was life-changing for me at such an early age. And where I learned at Cal Poly that the famous saying that, you know, once you find out how much there is to know, you realize like you're never gonna get there. Like there's just always something more to learn. And with horses, it's just never ending, right? That's exactly how it was working for Dr. Herthel and how much there is to know about cellular health, nutrition, and all of these areas of science that hadn't even scratched the surface yet. So I was just really excited to be a part of it.
And so the first role that you stepped into then with Platinum, what were you doing?
Yeah. So back then, we would answer the phones in the morning, help place orders for veterinary practices and clients who were calling in. Email wasn't much of a thing. We had a little bit of email, but we were doing a lot of fax orders.
Yes, I know. Yes. Some of our listeners won't even know what fax is, but yes, we were there for it.
Yes. So fax is the short for facsimile. And it was the first wave of communication by print back in the, I don't even know. You know, the order came over and printed out on this thing that also had a phone pad on it. Then at about just after lunch shifted and became shippers. And so we would literally be able to answer the phone while shipping the product. So for several years, it was actually a ton of fun because you're on your feet, you're pulling the product off the shelf, you're scanning it, you're packing it in the box, you know, all the things. And then we would get excited. Like as it was growing, you're like, wow, we got to 2 pallets today, you know, just incredible. And I'm so grateful. The team that was there then, there's a lot of us still together today.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, I thought, you know, as far as your tenure goes, you've got a really core group of amazing, passionate, talented people at Platinum. I think that is really noticeable and visible. And you feel it the minute you walk through y'all's door. If you're there, you know, if you get the experience of being in that office with your team, it's really palpable. So that's incredible. So the roles that you have held in your tenure with Platinum, tell us your evolution.
Yeah. So of course, in a family-owned business, and it's probably very similar with the veterinary practice, you know, roles, you can have a defined role, but you really know that you're all Swiss Army knives. So because I was from the Silicon Valley and Apple Computer was literally born like less than a couple miles from my parents' house, I had a lot of computer experience as compared to my peers. And like, let's just put it in perspective, like Netscape was literally invented and became a thing while we were in college, right? So I just want to paint for everyone, like the internet was not around. So computer experience was highly desirable and obviously helpful. So I just have a knack for that. That's always been something that the innovation side of me that I want to incorporate more software and more digital tools into everything I do. And that had come from a lot of when I was a kid. So I was actually the IT person on site from day one. And that ended up being a really cool role for me. I led IT for probably at least 15 years, probably all the way almost up to acquisition. And then also helped to develop the advisor team, our client relationship model, then also hiring, right? Like you got to make sure you're building the team the way you want to build it and who you want to bring on to match the values of the company so that we have a strong culture. So I've been in charge of or helped to support hiring as well. I've worked very closely with finance as that was my background. So a lot of, and also the IT side of reporting. So understanding the business analytics side and making sure that we're measuring what we want to be tracking and those kinds of back and forth, you know, like you have your goal, but then you want to make sure you're accountable to that goal with the analytics. So that was a big area for me. Operations. I helped our quality team with like labels and how are we going to get this machine to do this? And, you know, that was another area of innovation that I loved exploring and working. Again, it's just teamwork, right? Just kind of, we have a problem to solve and, you know, let's just make sure all the right people are in the room and can get it done. And so all the way up until we formally kind of created an org chart, you know, where all these things that I was getting to do. And software projects and leading software projects that, you know, we were putting into place with our client relationship model as well. And then all the way up until now today where, you know, I'm in charge of the client experience, I'm in charge of making sure that our advisors have what they need, are equipped to consult and provide great recommendations to our clients. And then you know, getting to work with all those other teams to make sure it's all connected.
Yeah, incredible. And I love your analogy to a Swiss Army knife. And I like to point that out, especially to our younger listeners who are early in their career or facing the student to professional transition. You will gain a competitive edge if you are the person who always asks, how, where do I need to be? What can I do? And you are curious to learn and you're just willing. You know, be the person who's willing to try it all and be able to laugh at yourself when you're like, well, this might not be like the best fit for my skill set, but here's something I want to learn more about. And, you know, so I think that just speaks volumes to how far you can go when you're willing to really just dig in from the ground floor and sweep the floors, to pack the products, to, you know, sit in the C-suite and figure out the cell phone issue of the CEO. So, you know, just some great examples there. Now, let's get into, speaking of that, your advice. You and I have this passion. It has come out. You've already talked about coaching and mentoring and just your passion for learning. So, you mentioned a few things and I can't wait any longer to talk about this one because I told you it was my favorite. why parents don't always love Heather when you speak to their high schoolers about college. Let's just get that advice out there and just break it down. So tell us what your advice to college students is and why parents don't always love it.
Yeah, you know, you and I, Jody, came from the college days where it seemingly, I know at the time it didn't feel like it, but now when you compare, a lot more affordable to be in college. And, you know, hence why I could stay 6 years. Now, you know, there was obviously a year of internship, 6 months, 1, 8 months, another. I wasn't paying. I was getting paid. Wonderful. But it was still being part of college. And one of the disservices I think that's happening in college, and this is across all industries today, is that it's being rushed. There is so many students who are graduating so quickly that they're not differentiated. And the worst part is that they themselves haven't had a chance to discover what they love, how they love to work, what areas are they're passionate in. And you see that when they graduate. And if they aren't connected to a purpose, or if they don't know their own unique strengths or have an inkling of what that is, then I have seen that it ends up creating, you know, some lost souls. And in the veterinary world, especially, what we're seeing too is that everyone is so smart and so capable, but they actually haven't had some of the foundational elements like communication, how to balance a checkbook, understanding that you are a brand and that you are representing something. And, you know, do you know what that looks like and how you want that to look? Because everyone's unique. So the time in college is to figure that out. Take a bowling class, do ceramics, like, you know, go take a year of philosophy courses, you know, and have some debates with people. I think that doing those things is what's going to shape someone to be so much more well-rounded, but also help them to be more focused on, hey, like, I loved the dialogue when I was doing that conversation in school, or when I was working in that group project, or actually I don't. So when I get out into the veterinary world, I need to make sure that I have digital systems all around me so that, you know, I can just, you know, talk to my clients or talk to my team in a way that I'm, you know, going to be the most, you know, unique to me and also the most communicative. And I think that that is the part that gets skipped in school.
I agree. And it does, it all looks different right now. I think, you know, to your point, so much of what we experience today is a hustle culture. I talk a lot about that. And I talk about the epidemic of comparisonitis and that we are not being, to your point, encouraged to be our unique selves and discover what that looks like. And, you know, even in my speaking business, Heather, I really have put it together as a triangle where we know that we are at a time where academic and clinical education and excellence is second to none. And we are gaining academic and clinical skills and education. The foundation of that triangle is very lopsided right now because it's the human connection. It's the soft skills, the emotional intelligence, the communication, all of the social perceptiveness, things like that, that we really only learn from interactions with other human beings. And I challenge us to find those humans who are 10 plus years ahead of us doing some things we think we might be interested in doing. And that's where that foundation grows strong. And to your point, we begin to discover ourselves and build our personal brand. Who are we? What do I have to contribute, to serve, to do? It's such phenomenal advice of the importance of that time in our life, college, early career, to stretch and be curious, get comfortable being uncomfortable. You know, my listeners have heard me say that before even, but, you know, I think that's just really important, the message, you know, that you have there of slow down. Like, you got to go slow to go far sometimes. And it's not a hurry to an end destination, you know, like, again, achieving a goal is great, but it really is the getting there that is the greatest. And so it's that those experiences and connections and memories that are created on the hard path. And then all of a sudden you achieve that goal. Well, guess what's next? There's another goal.
Yeah. The thing that going back to the college is that when you are in grade school, you know, you're like, what sport am I going to play? What high school, you know, and you get to high school and you're like, what people are asking you, what school are you going to apply to? You know? And then, I have a 15-year-old son. So we were just talking about this and it's because he's so tall and everyone keeps saying, oh my God, you're so tall. I was like, you know, buddy, any day now that's going to kind of slow down. And the next thing you're going to start wondering is what school are you going to apply to? And this is what started the conversation. Right. And he's like, okay. He's like, yeah, it's okay. And I said, you know, it's because in the first half of life, everything is what's next, what's next. So, you know, you're in school and it's like, well, what are you going to be? You're like, God, I'm like 18 years old. I don't know. Like, I guess I'll declare this. Right. And then now it's less than 4 years. I think they're getting all out in like 3. And so you have to have it decided. And then you know, once you get out, you're like, you know, where's your job going to be? Or if you're going to do, you know, an upper division degree, you know, what vet school or what, you know, MBA program, whatever. And then you get out of that. Okay. Now what job? Or if you're already in the job, what's the promotion? Right. And then meanwhile, are you getting married? And then while you're getting married, they're like, oh, are you going to have kids?
Are you going to have babies? Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have the first and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, this is so wonderful. Oh, you're going to have another. And so this continues for a while to the point where we are preconditioned to think like we get to a thing. We have to get to a thing. This is the next thing. And instead the thing I want, you know, my old me to know is learn to enjoy the process. And fortunately for me through horses, because Cal Poly, like it was all about, like I had some amazing mentors and teaching me that like, hey, you actually, you know, an inch about horses. Like, you know, I mean, the stuff that we got to experience was so incredible because it really was so humbling to understand like how much more there is to know. And then in business, all through my journey at Platinum, when you go through from a family startup to, you know, fast growth and continuously consistent fast growth, and all the way up to, you know, joining a large corporation, you realize like there is so much still to learn. You can continue to reinvent yourself if you love the process. And it's like the same role. You don't even have to get promoted. You can still, hey, I need to, you know what? That like, this podcast isn't going right. I'm not giving my message across. I'm going to go spend working on my communication skills, right? Or I cannot get up in front, like, you know, my old me couldn't get up in front of a room. I was terrified. I went through 3 coaching programs on communication and public speaking because people don't know that because they think like, oh yeah, she's like that, you know? And it's like, no, actually, like I realized like, this is something I really want to get better at. So let's dig in and figure it out. And it is really tough. In weightlifting, I'm a coach in fitness, and in weightlifting, our saying is slow is smooth, smooth is fast. And that's kind of embodies everything, right? In horses, you're not going to go off at a gallop before you make sure you have the right lead chosen, right? Or like, you know, are we balanced? You know, there's so many aspects of it that you're going to put together first. Make it very beautiful and smooth, then you can go fast. And so I think the number one thing is making sure early on, you know, enjoy the process, figure out how to understand like things that you love. And then that way, when it gets hard, you're like, oh yeah, cool. This is hard. That means that I'm going to get better. And when that happens, that's when it can go on forever. Like that, you know, that's when it doesn't have to be, oh, I've been doing this 2 years now. What's next?
Right. And that comes from an emptiness. Yeah. You talk about fulfillment, Heather. I think like, so you just mentioned you are a trainer and a consultant, you know, so you have other roles in life and you love coaching and mentoring both business and fitness. And I think that the way that you say it is that you are passionate about fulfillment through empathy, movement, humility, and connection. I was like, that is beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it all started with, you know, I was not an athletic person because I was always on top of a horse. They were my athlete. And, you know, it might've been, you know, a self-consciousness about body or maybe, something else that originally like, you know, got the tennis shoes on, but, it was actually the need for connection that got me running. And it was, because I was in this small town here in, you know, Buellton, California, where Platinum is. Back then there was not a ton of young people. And, I had a girlfriend who liked to run, and that was our time. And we would go and talk and, you know, all these things. And so that became kind of the impetus, was the connection. The humility piece is the same with horse. You know, you enter into it sometimes not knowing. And a lot of times in fitness, you can be humbled, especially if you're trying to get better at a technique or get stronger or faster. And, you know, nothing is linear. So humility is a huge part of it. I'm very, very curious about movement and why, you know, our species is a bit averse to it. And while we would never allow a horse to sit stall bound for more than a day or two, knowing full well how dangerous that could be to their body. And yet our fears and our doubts and our negative talk and the things that are totally natural and it's frankly hardwired for our survival keeps us from doing this very thing that ends up being the one thing that all doctors across any type will tell you that movement is prescribed for the best health, best longevity, right? So I think it's such an interesting phenomenon. And I can thank COVID for becoming certified as a coach. I was actually terrified that they were going to go away with the live courses and because of COVID. And so I just jumped on it. And so, yeah, so I became certified and it wasn't really with intention to coach, but then because of how much I loved it with Platinum and coaching our advisors and, you know, just like in general, just something I love to do. I found that it's really hard. Like coaching a class of people is actually one of the hardest things I've ever done because you have to incorporate like so many different elements in one small glimpse of time. And I'm constantly thinking like, how can I make this more clear? You know, how can I, you know, that kind of, the other day I was out pulling weeds and I was like, this is kind of like the movement I'm trying to describe when I'm doing, you know, so I'm like, maybe I'll try that, you know?
Yes. When your world just becomes a constant classroom and you're able to be like, how do I apply this? How does this work? Oh, I just love that. So and I think this leads into, Heather, why have you been at Platinum for as long as you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of what we've been talking about, you know, it's the constant evolution of the business has kept it new and exciting. When someone asks me this, usually this is the question I get asked at the end of an interview when I'm interviewing for a new hire. And the answer has been the same for at least 15 years. The mission is amazing. Our purpose to improve lives through, you know, superior nutrition and unmatched personal service. Not only does it mean that we're going to help people, which is, you know,
philanthropic.
Right. Philanthropic. Yes. Not only is it philanthropic in itself, you know, so I can say that I'm like doing my community service while I'm also working, but it's challenging to say superior nutrition means that we have to make sure that we're always being differentiated by our quality and, you know, and things that some other companies aren't willing to do. And unmatched personal service for me and my team means we got to be better and different. And that in and of itself is challenging because that's paying attention to the details. So no day is ever the same. The mission is amazing. My purpose has always been extremely strong towards serving in that space. And we talked about it earlier, I am blessed to have worked with almost all of my teammates for more than 10 years each. I mean, I have teammates that go back, well, two or three that go back to the beginning that I get to talk to on a regular basis. So more than 20 years. And then two or three people that I talk to on a daily basis that I've known for 18, 19 years and worked with them. It's just an incredible team. And it, on the days it's hard, on the days where the purpose isn't quite so strong, or maybe it feels a little bit repetitive, it's for them. Or, you know, it's for the friend of mine who's a client who, you know, I know that we're making a difference, right? And then the mindset of staying with something for a long period of time is also challenging, because a long time ago, I realized like no one is going to do it for me. No one's going to create the thing and just hand it to me, right? I have to do it. And that forced me to think about how do I want to reinvent, or how do I want to evolve, or what am I, you know? And so within that same span where we have work to do, I was able to grow in ways and, you know, kind of continue to innovate for myself. And if it meant raising my hand and saying like, I'd really like to be part of that software program implementation, you know, and get to work with a tech company, or I'd really like to be part of, you know, this operations line. And then now I'm getting to work with how we make, you know, all the things in veterinary practices. This is very possible, because there is a lot of administrative back of the house things that can be done when you're not actually doctoring on animals, right? If we can create the landscape, it's possible. There's inventory needs, there are social media needs, there are finance needs. And so there's all these other avenues. If anyone were to be interested in things that are outside of patient care, there's so many things that can be a part of it. And it can be in a team of three, or it can be in a team of 300. So the thing that's kept me at Platinum so long is I've been lucky to work with people who have agreed to foster that. And, you know, at least seen something in me that, you know, we kind of keep it going.
Yeah. Incredible. What a brand, what, you know, what a journey, and so much wisdom that you share from that journey. Now, as we wrap up, Heather, there's always two questions that I've been asking this year of all of my guests. And the first one is, do you have one particular book or podcast you would recommend to our listeners?
Yes, I do. The book that really was like a good solid one for me, and I've read it a few times now, is Chop Wood, Carry Water. And, you know, it speaks a lot to mastery, I'd say. It speaks a lot to, you know, kind of the eager beaver that's like, I just want to go do the thing. And, you know, a little bit of the Karate Kid mentality, right? Like, no, we're going to wax on and wax off here for a little while. What's neat is it's simple to read. So it's a fast one. I think it really would speak great to all kinds of audiences. In regards to podcasts, Jody, there's just so many out there. The thing that I recommend these days is go find something that's going to make you laugh, make you cry, like be an outlet, because you're going to find the thing that you want to learn inside of those, have it entertain you at the same time, you know, because there's some grinders out there, right? And you're like, oh, I've got to listen to this because everyone says to, and you're like, I'm falling asleep 20 minutes in. But if you can find one that makes you laugh or tells great stories, then those are the ones that I think that resonate and people will stick with them. So find something that's going to.
I love that advice. Yes. We want something that's going to engage your mind and your heart.
Yeah. Because whether you're excited about the sciences, or whether you're excited about how to grow and, you know, be, you know, self-starter, you know, business, all those things, like there are millions now, right? So the next thing to do is like, okay, the concepts are all very similar. So who does it in a way that like speaks to me?
Perfect advice. And the final question, Heather, that I love to ask is, and if you don't know this about me, many of my listeners do, I refuse to use the term work-life balance. It is life balance because we have so many roles. Work is one of them. What is one piece of advice related to life balance that you would give to our listeners?
Oh, I love it so much. We are on the same page with this. You know, I used to say it actually, and people were like, what? I used to say the same thing that you're saying, like, there's no such thing. The thing that I would say is that, you know, it needs to fit into your life. You need to have something that connects you to your purpose, your why with your work. We need to enjoy our work as much as we enjoy life. And what is that? Like, I think that work is in life, right? My mom is one of my, number one stars and my North Star, in terms of people that I want to emulate. And she left a career as a sales executive, after 32 years and took a little hiatus and then created a whole new career in real estate. She'd never done real estate before. And now she's one of the in her 70s, one of the top agents in the country. And why? Because she loves the aspect of work inside her life in a way that she's figured out how it can serve others. And so, you know, that's just what it's really like. There is no secret to it. It's kind of like, if you're miserable, then something foundational is missing. Got to figure that out. And I think there's enough, definitely in the horse world, there are enough opportunities. But even outside the horse world, there is, you know, just a plethora. And if someone is going to accept the fact that no one's coming to save you, that hard is actually normal, right? We're not trying to avoid hard, and that you are unique and you are built with some capabilities that are unlike anyone else in this world. And if you can tap into what those are and accept those other two facts, then I don't know, like balance.
It is.
Right?
It is. And I'll sum it up, Heather. I agree. Doing hard things makes life worth living. My definition of life is living inspired, fulfilled, and empowered. That's what Jody Speaks Life stands for. Doing hard things makes life worth living. So I agree. And most of the time, the piece that's missing, if you are miserable, most of the time I will answer you with a question about your connections. Who are you living life with?
And the connection to self.
Yeah.
That's number one, you know, and truly understanding that, if it's hard and you're connected, then it actually doesn't feel hard.
Yes.
There's a moment where you're like, ooh, this is cool. I'm learning something right now, you know, and it's just, it's an amazing, and it's not this moment, this concept of that we're talking about, it's not linear. Right. Wouldn't you agree? Like,
yes,
it's
mountaintops
kind of ugly
and valleys.
And messy.
You got it.
You know, there are days where the weight of the world is pressing back on you and you're like, I don't know. But that's that moment where you're like, wait, this is hard. I love what I'm doing. I love who I'm doing it for. I'd like to lean in right now and see what's on the other side.
Yes. Ah, amen to that. And, you know, one theme we didn't stop and talk a lot about today, but I want our listeners to hear you use the word serve so often. Who are we serving? And I do think at the end of the day that that's just hugely important in the core of who we are. And, you know, when I talk about connections, it's much the same, right? So who are we serving? And yes, you know, having the right connections to others, the connection to yourself, and ultimately, what are we doing to make the world around us a better place?
Absolutely. Because especially for young veterinarians, I hear a lot when they say, hey, you know, I went to veterinary school so I could work on animals.
Guess what?
Listen, like, I don't care if you're an accountant, if you're a plumber, if you're going to be a veterinarian. We are people. We have to communicate. That is, like, if you're going to have a partner, you have to communicate. If you're going to have a family, relationships, business, it doesn't matter. And guess what? Like, people own the animals.
Yeah, there's a person at the end of every leash and lead rope.
And when I'm so blessed at Platinum because our model has always been, you know, client first. And one thing that we loved and embodied was you just never know who the person you are helping right now is going to impact next. Right. So it could be where you're like, I'm going above and beyond right here. This feels really hard. It doesn't feel like it's going to be worth it. And then later you find out that that had a ripple effect that was just so empowering and amazing and beautiful. And that's the kind of thing that I hope people understand the importance of learning how to communicate. And Jody, it's 2024. We can communicate in so many different ways. So again, in college, figure out, like, do you like to be in front of people? Do you like to be on email? Do you like to talk on the phone? Do you like to talk on Zoom? Or would you rather text? And then when you get out into the business world, surround yourself with those systems. If you aren't comfortable with people, then go get a technician or go get somebody who you can connect with that can help you with that, right? And there are so many ways to learn how to communicate and to be able to do it to how we're uniquely wired. And so that, you know, that would be my main thing, but it's not going away. Like if you don't like it in one way, guess what? And you turn around, it's right there.
That's right. Heather Elliott, what a masterclass, episode 50. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of the Thriving Equine Professional. And I know that some of our listeners will want to connect with you. We want to point them towards Platinum Performance. Certainly they can, you know, all the socials, website, you are on LinkedIn as well. So with that, Heather Elliott, thank you for joining us today. And Thrivers, have an amazing day. We will see you back here same time next week.
Thank you, Jody. So fun.
Hey, Thriver. I hope this episode inspired and empowered you to keep growing. If so, I'd be so grateful if you hit that share button and send it to your tribe so they can thrive too. And while you're there, please leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts so everyone can find the show. I love to know what keeps you listening, especially if I'm at the barn with you. I'll meet you back here same time next week. Cheers, Jody.